This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2331. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded January 22nd, Belarus, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Iran, Korea North, Kyrgyzstan, Lesotho, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, North America, Solomon Islands, Spain, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, QSL Galleries, F2, TVDX, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Belarus. Here's a story dated January 21st from 404media.com, is also quoted at europesays.com, titled Ham Radio Operators in Belarus Arrest Face the Death Penalty. It's by Jason Kubler, K-O-E-B-L-E-R. The Belarusian government is threatening three ham radio operators with the death penalty, detained at least seven people, and has accused them of intercepting state secrets, according to Belarusian state media, independent media outside Belarus, and the Belarusian human rights organization Vyazna. The arrests are an extreme attack on what is most often a wholesome hobby, with a history of being vilified by authoritarian governments because the technology is quite censorship-resistant. The detentions were announced on Belarusian state TV, claiming the men were part of a network of more than 50 people participating in the ham radio hobby, and have been accused of both espionage and treason. Authorities seized more than 500 pieces of radio equipment, men accused of using radio to spy on the movement of government planes, though no actual evidence has been produced. State TV claimed they were associated with the Belarusian Federation of Radio Amateurs and Radio Sportsmen, BFRR, a long-running ham radio club and nonprofit that holds amateur radio competitions, meetups, trainings, and forums. On Reddit, Syarhei Besarab, a ham radio operator, posted a plea for support. Mayday, licensed operators facing death penalty. My local community is being systematically liquidated in what I can only describe as a targeted intellectual genocide. They've detained over 50 licensed people, including call signs EW1ABTAEH and ACE. These men were paraded on state TV like war criminals and coerced to publicly repent for the crime of technical curiosity. Walt Solomon, NBC, reports hearing Brazil's Rádio 9 de Julho on the always way-off frequency, 9818.534. January 20th at 2354, with devotional music and Portuguese, likely enhanced reception due to a major ionospheric disturbance in progress. This led Ben Dawson of his consulting engineers firm, Hatfield Dawson, to inquire if anyone has DX'd their medium wave outlet on 1600 kHz. A 100 kilowatt transmitter, and indeed it has been heard in North America and Europe. It is the only Brazilian left on that frequency, as so many of them have moved to FM. Alex Miatnikov in Ukraine and Yimbirga Viria in Colombia forward news from the website of Bulgarian National Radio that they're issuing new QSL cards celebrating their 90th anniversary. Of course, programming from Bulgaria itself is no longer on shortwave. They only relay some other stations. And furthermore, according to WRTH, there's only one medium wave frequency active, 576 kHz. Everything else is FM, and it's not clear whether even streaming would be acceptable for these 12 new QSL cards for 2026. They say this is for broadcasts of Radio Bulgaria and all intercepted signals of BNR, Horizont, Hristo Botev, and programs of regional radio stations. It is mandatory to provide a postal address for feedback, but reports may be sent via email to reception.report@bnr.bg. And they say they also confirm reception reports with old series of QSL cards available on request. On January 18th, before and after 08 UT, I was hearing South Asian songs on 1290 kHz, but no ID. The only station which fits this format is CFRW in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which has just changed hands and is now broadcasting in Punjabi as Asli Radio, which means real radio. According to John Perkins, Canadian Radio News, it's 10 kilowatt day and night, and both patterns supposedly restrict signals to the south, according to radiolocator.com. But we know how that goes with Canadians. Via the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Peter Milchin of the Canadian International Dance Club says, the CFRB transmitter site near Toronto is for sale. This may not bode well for the continued CFRX operation on shortwave either. They are apparently at the same site. Ken Zicke says, yet another, the land the antenna is on is more valuable for development than the station is worth otherwise situation. Toronto is one of the most expensive areas in North America to buy a home, so redeveloping this site for housing has got to be an attractive idea. For the money is the only thing that matters, current crop of radio owners. Presumably from inside Canada is a pirate, elbows up radio on 6935 USB. Really enjoyed by Walt Samaniv, Tony Pavic, and Mick Dummage, all Canadians. Apparently it promotes Canadian pride against Trumpian imperialism. Tony Pavic makes clear he is not involved with that station, but he wishes the operator would get in touch with him. It was being heard from midnight 30 to 0128 UT, January 22nd. Walt says, great program. Charlie Angus articulates very well how most Canadians feel. Colombia, from the Arctic Radio Club, on January 13th, Caracol Radio and W Radio merge into a single network under the PRISA group to consolidate an audience of 1.4 mega listeners. The news had been circulating since 2025 and was finally confirmed, says Laura Sanchez Useche in Publimetro. This involves many medium wave frequencies. And there's an opinion about this by William Cage in Anecdotes of Radio and TV in Colombia, January 17th, translated by Christer Brunström of Arctic. Radio did not die, they are killing it. He says it is difficult to understand and even more to justify the way in which the major radio networks have decided to handle the so-called radio crisis. For years, it's been repeatedly claimed that the major problem is migration of listeners to digital platforms. Also economic problems and the suggestion that radio has lost much of its relevance. However, the decisions taken to remedy the situation don't really seem to be serious. Instead of adopting innovation, creativity, and an intelligent approach to the way people consume the media, the so-called experts have chosen closures, uniform programming, and tired content, which only accelerate the disenchantment of the audience. Finland, via Kari Kallio, Real Mix Radio plans more broadcasts on January 24th, 25th, and 26th. No specific times, but there are frequency options, 6185, 6195, 6005, and 5950, Real Mix Radio, from Rasiborg. CFRX Toronto and Channel 292 Germany are not the only stations on 6070. In the British DS Club, Graham M0EUK has been hearing something else and wonders what it is. Sunday, January 18th, around 1930 to 2030 UT. Channel 292 confirmed they were not on the air at that time. Dave Kenny explains this would be Pan-American broadcasting via Issoudun, France, Sunday evenings on 6070 to Europe with U.S. evangelical programs. According to the current BDXC broadcast in English, it's at 19 to 21 on Sundays on 6070. Transmission times may vary depending on bookings. The WRTH app currently listed on 6070 Sundays at 1900 to 1945 and 2000 to 2030. As mentioned last week, Deutsche Welle, Germany, is still on shortwave, contrary to expectations, but only for Arabic on Wednesdays. Alex Miatnikov refers to WRTH group on FB, that again on Wednesday the 21st of January, at 1215 to 1300, both 15390 and 17570 kHz were heard on DW via France. Iran Non, more about broadcasts into that country now from elsewhere due to the situation there. In the British Steelers Club, Tony Rogers says, using the online SDR in Tambov, Russia, the station heard 20 January on medium wave 864 kHz. identifying as Radio Iran Azad in Persian, from around 1630 until off at 1715. Then on 21 January, it came on at 1613 with easy-listening Western instrumental music, Time Pips, Inja Radio Iran Azad, ID at 1630, Anthem, and a program in Persian of news reports, some in English being spoken over in Persian. And it's presumably coming from Gavar, Armenia. Mano Riddle replies, I did not hear any Azad, just Radio Iran, translated as Radio Iran, the voice of freedom for the Iranian people. Bill McDavid of the Estoril QSL Museum says Radio Zaman Bidari will be on 9705, Thursdays at 1830 to 1930, until March 29th, and then presumably back to 15540 kHz. I get the impression from the station emails that it's barely more than an individual financing radio broadcasts to Iran. And another one reported by Bill McDavid, Radio Shabname, S-H-A-B-N-A-M-E, Voice of Freedom, a new Iranian clandestine, heard well via the remote in Holland, at 1530 to 1630 on 7465 and 17540, and at 1830 to 1900 on 9680. As of January 16th, check shabname.org. Via Alan Pennington, BDXC, Voice of America's Farsi to Iran is now heard on 1548 kHz. Is that the Kuwait transmitter? In the evenings until 23:30, close down each night. Note this is VOA Farsi programming and not Radio Fardal. It's announced on the VOA Farsi website as of January 10th. And Zaharias Younger says BBC in Farsi on 1395 kHz starts at 1930 UT. VOA's token Korean broadcast, or Voice of Trump, continues to be heard at 1530 to 16 UT, but now, via Mike Cooper, Reuters reports that Radio Free Asia is going to resume its Korean broadcasts on January 15th. They said it was cut last year in a cost-cutting drive, but plans to revive it as a way to reach reclusive North Korea. Later next week, and it's already then, but we don't have any details yet, the effort would rely on four reporters based in Seoul, South Korea. There would be one original radio program planned per week. Kyrgyzstan, in telesputnik.ru via RustyX. Kyrgyzstan will begin inspecting TV channels for domestic content. They will not be allowed to show more than 40% of their content in Russian. Local authorities demanded that the share of broadcasts in the national language be increased to 60%. Lesotho, or Lesotho, via the Arctic Radio Club, Christoph Ratzer, Austria, in his Remote DX blog of 12 January says, Ultimate Radio from Maseru, Lesotho has reactivated its transmitter on 891 kHz, can be heard here in Salzburg on the Africa Beverage Antenna around 2030 UT, despite interference from Algeria and a station in Holland. The A26 HFCC meeting is underway in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Does that mean that Malaysia might get back on shortwave itself? Are they hosting the conference? 11665, their last frequency, has been inactive lately. I asked Jeff White about this. He says, believe it or not, Malaysia is not even at the conference. However, he checked and says later, some info about RTM. They have three 100 kilowatt continental transmitters, and the continental representative is going to the site some 35 miles from KL to do some maintenance or to see what needs to be worked on. And they've bought two new 100-kilowatt shortwave Ampagon transmitters, which are being installed now and should be in operation soon, for domestic broadcasting, perhaps mostly for Malaysian Borneo. More about this, I assume, on WaveScan coming up. January 19th at 0505 UT, Spanish was dominating on 1060 kHz. It couldn't be Radio Educación, since it's commercial. There was an ad for something called Barracuda, and it played the Mexican anthem at 0601. So it must be the only other Mexican on 1060. XERDO in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, 2.5 kilowatts at night. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave. World of Radio 2331. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Peter Robinson in Preston, UK. who sent a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Radio New Zealand International has made some schedule changes, so here's their latest info from How to Listen as updated 17 January. These are the AM channels. I'll just give the start time for each. It takes about a minute to change. From 1859 on 15720. From 2059 on 17675. From 0559, 13755. From 859, 11725. From 1259, 7390. From 1651, 11725, except on Saturdays, 9700. Here are some North American pirate logs outside the regular pirate band, reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the Master Fly Sheet. On 4032 USV, Bald Smacker Radio, at 0217 January 17th, parallel to 6960 AM. And then a station in USV, unidentified, but with lots of music he could identify, jumping around from four different frequencies, 9890 to 9875, to 9860 to 9830, between 2115 UT January 11th and 0127 UT January 12th. He says it was nothing but segued music, a distinctive 13 kHz USB signal, I guess he means bandwidth, and audio quality throughout. Frequency jumps did not seem prompted by anything in particular, all frequencies with fair reception. Ron Howard reports outstanding propagation January 20th, for both SIBC and Radio Vanuatu is heard at Asilomar State Beach near Monterey, California. Well above the norm. SIBC on 5020, Voice of the Nation, heard from 10:20 past 12:15 UT. There was a closing ID and national anthem at 1200, but then resuming with a non-stop variety of songs. Token English from Spain did recur on Wednesday, January 21st at 23:13. Something's not right at Noblejas Harbor because 12030, the Middle East frequency, was dead air. And the North American frequency, 9690, was really not sufficient for easy listening this deep into North America. While the other frequencies, 17715 and 17755, were barely audible carriers. Voice of Turkey competes with English to North America every day at 23 UT. On 5960, except when it doesn't. No signal on January 20th. Something's always erroneous at Emmerlair. UK non. Tony Pavic reports what he thinks was BBC World Service via the Oman site in Farsi, but off frequency. Supposed to be 9465, but heard January 16th on 9462.8, until off at 1700 as scheduled. Just a trace in BC, but a strong signal into the Kuwait remote. Perhaps they were varying the frequency to avoid jamming from Iran, but none was heard. And now USA. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan says, according to Shaolin Broadcasting Station, VOA resumed Chinese service on shortwave at 22 UT January 19th. The schedule is Monday through Friday at 22 to 22:30. On 7500 via Tanang, Philippines, and 7560 via Kuwait, both 250 kilowatts. There were 10 minutes of news about the activities of President Trump, repeated three times. They say it sounded like the voice of Trump. Chinese government might have noticed around 2220, jamming 7500 with the voice of China, but there was no jamming against 7560. However, the next day, January 20th, Takahito says, I confirmed it myself in Tokyo, a fairly strong signal, severely jammed by a voice of China during the transmission on both frequencies. Joe Hanlon in New Jersey monitored this January 20th at 22:26 via the remote in Holland, a fair to poor signal on both 7500 Philippines, which signed off with the Yankee Doodle IS, and 7560 Kuwait, which did not use the interval signal. There was some interference, presumably CNR, but difficult to confirm in Europe. Via Ben Cobb, recommended reading from Steve Herman, formerly of VOA, at his Substack called News Guy, Potemkin Airways, The Hollow Resurrection of U.S. International Broadcasting, dated January 15th. At the Fayyul News Desk, January 14th, this story headline, Congress approves $653 million for VOA, RFA, and other U.S. AGM broadcasters. And a similar story at whistleblower.org, January 15th. Bipartisan veto-proof bill to restore funding to VOA proceeding through Congress. The Government Accountability Project applauds the bipartisan spending bill approved by lawmakers that would allocate $643 million for broadcasting from USAGM and VOA. On January 14th, by a veto-proof bipartisan majority of 341-79, the House approved. This action comes almost 1 year after Government Accountability Project and its allies filed suit in federal court in Wiradjuri versus Lake, challenging the president's executive order of termination. So this is now pending Senate approval, and as Mike Cooper points out, the Senate will not resume until Monday afternoon, January 26th. Note this, Patsy Wiradjuri, a seasoned veteran of VOA, finds herself at the heart of a legal battle over the future existence of the Voice of America. And she is the guest on a program available via public television, Story in the Public Square. Check your local listings. It's for the week of January 26th onward. It originates at the Pell Center in Rhode Island. In Oklahoma, we'll see it on OETA World, Thursday, January 29th at 18 UT. The first World of Radio website was on Angel Fire, starting in the 1990s. And I have maintained it, although my primary site is elsewhere. But a lot of my earliest info is there, or was. AngelFire.com disappeared, apparently gone for good, with no notice. Fortunately, a lot of this website has been preserved way back via web.archive.org. The original URL was www.angelfire.com/ok/world of radio. More about the suspended superstition at WBCQ 500 kilowatt on 9330. According to Alan and Angela Wiener Worldwide, on January 17th, he said it is available for major new clients. It's too expensive to sell time piecemeal. Not only 360 degrees rotatable, but the beam can be varied from narrow to wide. Must charge much more than the standard $50 per hour rate on the other classic only 50 kilowatt transmitters. Maybe the Voice of America would be interested, he mused. And as a private business, he said, WBCQ could operate more efficiently at a lower cost than a government entity. And I understand he's been offering other private U.S. shortwave broadcasters the chance to purchase it. Alan did say it is up for lease, rent, acquisition, or whatever. About Deutsche Welle not quite closing down its own shortwave broadcast, I should point out that it is also carried via WRN and thus is on some WRMI shortwave frequencies. For example, I hear it every night just about between 07 and 08 UT, except on Sundays when World of Radio is at 07:30 on several frequencies. 5850 among them. All WRMI transmitters were off the air Sunday, January 18th, into early UT Monday the 19th, so at least three World of Radio broadcasts could not appear. Jeff White told Tony Pavic what happened. We had a massive power outage last Sunday afternoon and evening, the first major outage in a long, long time. I'm in Malaysia, but talking to the folks at Okeechobee, it seems there was a deep cold snap and a bad windstorm, with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. The winds knocked down one of our transmission lines, but did not damage any antennas. However, the outage damaged a primary breaker inside our building. We had four engineers working on getting things back up for several hours. It was very hectic, so I'm not sure exactly what time all of the transmitters came back and what time the audio was restored. All the computers with the audio programming had to be restarted, and there were a few glitches with that process. But fortunately, no transmitters or computers in the building were damaged. DXing at Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports on Radio Vanuatu, 5040, heard January 20th, randomly from 0935 till off at 1101 UT. better reception than usual. However, at 12:45 UT, he was still hearing a strong open carrier dead air on 5040, which must have been the Vanuatu transmitter not turned off. Here are some online QSL galleries you might want to check out. Tom Gavaris says his is at radiotapes.com/QSL. Eric Fetterswalp says treehousesWL.mystrikingly.com. And Bill Whitaker started scanning his at realmonitor.com/QSL. Here's an unusual story from Samara Online via RustDX. Scientists say Earth stopped emitting a rare radio signal for several years. From the Space Research Institute of the Russian Academy of Sciences and the National Research University Higher School of Economics have discovered that Earth stopped emitting a rare type of natural radio emission for several years. We're talking about the so-called hectometer continuum, a weak signal in the 600 to 1700 kilohertz range that forms in the planet's magnetosphere. Analysis of data from the Japanese Arase satellite for the period 2017 to 2023 showed that this signal appeared exclusively at night and disappeared shortly after sunrise. Its generation is only possible at a certain plasma density and in the presence of high-energy electrons controlled by the Earth's magnetic field. For some real TVDX, it's advisable to hang on to a sensitive analog TV and a high-gain, low-band antenna. Christopher Dunn in Northern Virginia says, I was alerted by someone in Ohio who has F2 skip up to channel 4, 72 megahertz. I had caught a cold TV in Columbia on analog 3 audio, 65.75 megahertz. The Ohio guy had a nice ID from RC and TV in Columbia on channel 2. Jim Thomas in Springfield, Missouri was getting Columbia on channels 2, 3, and 4 over 2,400 miles away. Of course, you may want to concentrate on the analog FM audio channels, if not the video. Nick Langan, who writes for Radio World, also got in on this opening, so look for a report from him in an upcoming issue. The F2 layer is, of course, higher in the ionosphere than the E layer, so the distances are greater for single hop than with ordinary sporadic E-skip. Mike Bugay says Wyndham Hepburn also has Columbian and Central American low-band TV up to channel 4. Apparently all this happened late in the evening on January 20th. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued January 19th. Geomagnetic field activity likely to reach G1 minor storm levels January 29th, with ANK and NC's peaking at 25 and 5. Unsettled active levels on January 27th, 28th, 30th, 31st, February 4th to 11th, 13th and 14th. ANK peaking at 15 and 4 on the 4th, 20 and 4 on the 13th. Quietest dates of only 5 and 2, January 24th to 26th, February 1st to 3rd. 8 and 3, February 7th, 8th, 10th, and 11th. Solar flux declining from a peak of 180 January 24th to 120 by February 6th, and back up to 140 by February 10th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here, concluding World of Radio 2331. With a standard disclaimer.